You're fine.
Thank you.
Hey guys, it's Livetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women Podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
That's right.
Hey, my darling, how are you?
I'm hanging in. It's
hanging
summer.
In?
Yeah.
Summer. Yeah, summer. It is Pride. I miss Pride, the Pride float parade this
I did
year,
too.
Apparently. Like,
yeah.
Because I'm in the valley. I'm not in West Hollywood anymore, which I do miss. I miss West Hollywood. So I'm not in the thick of things. So I missed it.
I was supposed to go. And then the technical difficulties I had into getting to down. It's not easy. You guys, if
it's
you don't
easy.
Live in LA, and I'm not that far away from it, but like, it would have been a lot. And I just was like, I'm tired. I'm really tired.
Yeah, basically, like, I don't know. It's like a 10 block radius around where they have the
you can't get there
so you have to park somewhere else. They have shuttles, but you have to figure out a place to park. You have to go down there. But when I lived in West Hollywood, I was already parked, so I could just like walk up a block and be on Santa Monica Boulevard.
That's
like in
right. So what I did instead is I went Pride shopping.
Oh,
okay. Now, Target can bite my ass. I said it. Come at me.
To be fair, Target was getting, like, the employees just getting death threats. And like,
I don't care. They're really not. Everyone gets death threats. Like, come on. So, because I went, like, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to the Target that's a little outside of where I live, like a little farther out. Boondocky, you know?
Yep.
And they had zero Pride things. Zero.
No. So you have to come back to the city center.
No, but you know what I did after that?
What'd you
I went
do?
Around the corner, same neighborhood, to Kohl's, and I got this cute shirt. You can't see it. It's a podcast, but it says it's a rainbow colored, and it says like really supportive words. I don't really, it's like great. And I got like a big sweater, and I got like a mug. You know those like wine mugs that you can drink? Like in the pool?
No, you know, I'm not familiar that, with the wine.
Okay, so you don't live in the suburbs like I do. That is how you drink wine at your community pool. And it's a rainbow.
It sounds lovely though, actually.
It's so cute. So, you know, we did some damage. My husband's like, how much did it cost? And I was like, we are supporting money where our mouth is.
Shopping
and
for support.
Cute.
But
yes.
I just love how like Kohl's is like on Target's neck. Like, all right, so you got to cave to the crazies. Because basically what we're talking about, listeners, is that so Target had all of this, you know, like a lot of corporations, Pride for Pride Month. They have all this stuff that's out that's like inclusive, basically, and rainbow stuff. Who doesn't like rainbows anyway?
Who doesn't like rainbows?
Assholes. But the employees were spending all their time with these idiots who were coming in wanting to fight.
They weren't going to do anything.
And demand that they take the stuff out. And so they just caved in and they were like, okay, we'll just get rid of this stuff. And probably not all the stores, because I guarantee
no, it's not
that
all
in
the
West
stores.
Hollywood, they
oh,
have
it's like,
Pride
it's a party,
stuff.
No oh, yeah. doubt. But that's my problem with it, is that what about that little gay boy in a tiny town in the Midwest who is not, who can see their future? That's what this is for. You can see that you are not alone. That's the point. I have a lot of feelings about this.
But Miriam, if I see a rainbow, I'll turn gay. Don't
I know.
You know,
you know like... what? In all the years I've been straight and cisgendered, it keeps trying to turn me. Right? Like, why aren't I trans yet? I went to Target in 2018.
Like I have been saying for many, many years at this point, I pray every day to wake up a lesbian because straight men suck. Unfortunately, I'm attracted to them, so I had to put up a lot of BS. But if you could literally just turn gay, I would have signed on to that a long time ago. And this is not to downplay anti-gay sentiments and anti-queer sentiments that run amok in the world. But if it worked like that, I would have signed on, is what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm
and saying. Like, and the trans thing too. It's like, what, why, who wants to do that? And also listen, dressing as a woman to assault women, you can do that all day. That's what they did. They've done. If a man wants to assault a woman, he will.
You know who doesn't put on dresses to assault women? Bears.
Trans women. Bears. Bears. You know what I'm saying?
And trans women, of course.
So let's not, like, trans
women.
That's
not the same thing. Yeah.
Just
yeah.
want to pee. That's
they just
it.
Want to live their lives.
They just
want
to live their
lives. And left the fuck alone.
That's right.
That's all. Like, that's is that right. too hard? Apparently, that's too hard.
Yeah.
For people to mind their own damn business.
You know what was really beautiful? That when I went to Kohl's, I'm like, this is Kohl's, if you want to advertise with us, like, listen, we'll take your money. Thank you.
Yes, please.
I just gave you money. And then we were like checking out and this person, we were talking and they were like, oh yeah, okay. And then they were like, they had a mask on and they like lowered the mask and like, I'm trans. And we were like, yes. So
it's like, I fooled them. No. Let's go back to the days when you mind your own fucking business.
That was a good time.
And leave people alone. But that's not how that works. But on to more positive things. And even though Pride is very positive. So
it is very positive.
Pride.
And Kohl's, you know, did what they got to do, you know.
But we're moving away from the idiots who have made Target and people who are just like, we'll just take it out. Because they won, basically, like you said.
Yeah, they won. And they won. People are like, well, it's for, but like, listen, other companies were threatened and they said, no, we're standing our ground.
Yeah. I'm surprised at Target, though. I really
am
too. Maybe. But like I said, even, and I'm here in the Valley and I see rainbows everywhere. So it's definitely where you are because you're a little bit farther out. So
I'm a little bit farther out.
But let's get started. And like last week's episode, our wonderful episode, I think we should read a few of our reviews.
Yeah, let's do
that. Guys, if you want to support the show, one of the ways you can do that is to give us a 5-star review in the Apple store, in the Apple podcast app now, because it used to just be in the store and then it became an app, separate thing. So go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. So let's read a few more. All these 5 stars. I love it. I love it. I love it. So Lottie Da left us a 5-star review. It said, love it. So much fun listening to these intelligent, funny, inspiring women. Thank you, Lottie Da.
Thank you, Lottie Da.
Lottie Da. And Insta fan left, love the vibe. It's the theme music for me with the laughing emoji. Thank you so much. You worked really hard on that.
Yeah, we did, actually.
And I'll read one more, another 5-star review. Thank you so much from 15TVCTVC left us must listen. Fascinating stories told and dissected by 2 outstanding, insightful, hilarious hosts. Thank you so much.
My ego's a little too big right now, but I'll pull back.
I know. So we'll read a few more, and that's from the Apple Store. Again, if you want to support the show, go to the Apple Podcast section of Apple on apple.com. Just put in Apple Podcast and go there and go to our show.
If you have an iPhone, just like go to the podcast thing and like click it. Listen, I'm going to talk to the people who are like me. Okay, because you just said like .com and things, and that's like a lot of information. Just like, you know, do the thing where you swipe down for a second and then you write, say P-O, and then like a little purple thing will appear. Click it. You're there. Yeah.
Yeah. So Apple, P-O, and then the thing comes up and you click it if you're on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just put in Google or anything, Apple Podcasts, and then go to our show, Notorious Women Podcast.
There you go.
With our little logo. See? With the little hat to the side, because our girl has got a lot of swag and she's murdering people.
Yeah.
Or doing something very awesome.
Amazing.
Swagalicious. So,
yeah. Or both. I don't know.
Or both. And then I also want to give a shout out, give some love to our YouTube listeners. Do you know from last season, season 5, episode 6, the Nancy Johnson, Kate Middleton episode?
Yes.
We actually got 5 comments. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Sookie C83, who left us a comment. Your podcast is fun, though. I'm new to you guys. Thank you, Sookie C. 83. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then Sookie C. also wrote, who wants, quote, hair and makeup when you're in the middle of chemotherapy, though? Think everyone thinks that Kate doesn't have a right of privacy and demands that she satisfy us, you, the world. I think we, the public, are obnoxious. I agree.
Yeah, I agree.
The latest on, you know what I think with the Kate Middleton? Thank you, Sookie C.
Yeah, thank you for that. That's a good point. I don't think we said that. And I think she's got a really good point.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Sookie C. 83. Thank you so much. And also, because I had this thought, because, you know, they said now that Kate won't return to her duties for the rest of the year.
Right. Obviously.
I think Kate just tired.
Yeah.
It's like, because, yes, they live on taxpayers' money. They're, you know, figureheads and but they have to work, and work is showing up.
Yeah.
At things, putting on makeup, putting on clothes, going out and being followed in your every movement, dissected. It's draining on you.
I am not over the fact that after each birth of each child, hours later, she was not only in full makeup, but like cute outfit. Do you know what I was doing hours after I gave birth? I was bleeding everywhere and drooling because I was in and out of consciousness. I was fine. Like, it wasn't, yeah. I was like in emergency. It was just like I had been through something. And so they were like, let her sleep. My husband took the babies because they were like, she's not okay because I gave birth. I'm not over. Yeah. She did that 3 times. And I think she's just like, you know what? Nope.
I think, honestly, you know, Meghan and Harry, however you feel about them, they escaped because they basically could live their own lives on their own terms.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully we wish her, you know,
her health to
get better and anything like that. But then I literally had that thought. I was like, oh, she's just tired of the bullshit. She's just tired of like being on display because she married into the family, and notoriously the royal family is not an easy transition for women who are not the queen and who marry into the family.
Yeah. And they don't really know everything that is expected of them
until they're there. And even the queen is old stock. Like, she's from that generation of like, carry on, right? What is this? A stiffer upper lip? That's a very British way. Yeah.
It's very World War II.
Drink tea and scary and carry
scones.
On. Or,
I don't know.
Apparently that came out of like World War III with doing the Blitz.
World War
II. Like,
World War II.
Oh my God. Freudian slip. Knock on wood. But my point is that also she was the queen. She came from a different era, but marrying into the family wasn't just Diana. Fergie talks about it. Like, that's a whole nother thing. So, So we just hope that Kate Middleton is okay. And I agree with you, Sookie C. 83. Like,
that's a good
she
point.
Don't owe us nothing. She really don't. On that note, I think we should get started.
Let's get started.
You are first this week, my dear. So who is your notorious woman this week?
Okay, I'm really excited. I have a really fun one today. Okay, so it is Pride Month. And so this woman, I would say, is maybe Pride adjacent.
Okay.
We'll see. You know, we'll see. Her name is Anne Bonny. Have you heard of her?
Anne Bonny sounds familiar.
Yeah, she's been in a little bit of stuff, but let's talk about her. Okay. So she was born in Ireland around 1698. First of all, every time I think about how terrible our world is, and like, I'm not going to lie, some shit show going on. Then I think, what if I was in Europe in the 1600s?
Ooh,
and then I feel like a little bit better about the situation. Okay.
Yeah.
So her beginnings started off with like a little bit of scandal. Okay. Story time. Okay.
Okay.
So her father was William Cormack. He was an attorney. Her mother was named Mary, was not his wife. Okay.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But he did have a wife. And she was pregnant with his twins at the same time Mary, his not wife, was pregnant with Anne.
You know what we call that?
What?
Ghetto twins.
Ghetto twins. Ghetto triplets, girl.
Ghetto triplets.
Yeah.
In 1600s Ireland.
In 1698.
Yep. Okay.
Dates back. Dates back.
Men have always been messy.
So it gets worse. So they both gave birth around the same time. Okay. So I called him Dirty Daddy. So Dirty Daddy, right? Because he did them both dirty. Okay.
Yeah.
Decided what he should do is raise his daughter as a boy, right? The illicit daughter, right?
Okay.
So he figured that he could hide her in plain sight and pretend it was a relative's kid that he was raising up to be his clerk. Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting, arrangement.
It was interesting until his wife was like, bullshit. Hell no. You cheated on me and made a baby and then went public with his affair. She got his parents to disown him.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I like his wife.
I like his wife, too. I like his wife. And then I was like, I should find out more about his wife.
Yeah.
So then, okay, so now William, Mary, and little baby Anne, they fled the country.
Oh, yeah, it's going down.
They went to America, and they went to a place called Charlestown, better known as Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, I see what you did there. Okay.
You see what I did there? Because apparently that was the thing. I didn't know.
Oh, we say Charleston. Charleston.
Charleston.
Charleston. Charleston.
Charleston. Charleston. South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Is that how I say it?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm so sorry if you're from there. Unless I was right. Then,
that's one of those pleasant southern. It's the plantation southern Miss Anne accent. I do declare.
Speaking of plantation.
Oh, so, God. Of course.
Are we surprised? Not really. No. Because white male privilege will always prevail. Don't worry. Everything will be fine.
I got busted with my side chick, so I'm going to flee to America and enslave people and have a plantation. Yeah, that tracks.
So he pulled up his white male rich bootstraps and he bought himself a plantation.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it wasn't easy at first. He tried to establish himself as a lawyer, but it didn't work. But because he was good about law and he knew a lot about those things, he bought and sold goods and then eventually financed a townhouse. Remember when you and I bought and sold goods and then financed a townhouse? Yeah, me neither.
And now you say bought and sold. I'm like, you mean slaves.
Goods. Okay. I'm going to go with probably.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with probably.
Along with other stuff. Yeah.
Along with other stuff. It's hearsay. I'm making it up.
Also, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's interesting that he could just come to the United States. Because now if you go to another country, you have to recertify in that field and da-da-da. But
nope. Well, I think maybe he did. And that's why it didn't work out when he was. But my guess, this is totally a guess, was that he was Irish. He had an accent. So when he was trying to be a lawyer, they were like, foreigner, burn him, because America. And so he just kind of,
Also, because this is before the Revolutionary War, so the English are in charge.
Yeah. They don't like Irish people.
No, they don't. No. Okay. Okay. Now I'm with you.
So, but don't worry. He also bought the plantation just outside of town. So that's nice. It's good for him. So happy to hear that about
him. But how do you run a plantation? What do you need?
What do you need to run a plantation? In the early 1700s.
A former lawyer is going to be out in the fields.
Yeah, he's out in the fields. Baby. By himself.
Yep.
Certainly not.
Pulling himself up by his bootstraps.
Yep, that's right. Okay, so he's a motherfucker. Here we are. All right.
Yeah, we're here.
Yep. So Anne's mom died when she was about 12. And then she helped her father run the plantation. So
When she was 12. So I have a question, a quick question. You may have said this and I just didn't hear it. How long did he have the ruse of raising Anne as his son or a friend's son?
I don't know. I don't think it was long. I think it was like baby Anne went on a boat.
Oh, baby Anne went. Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it lasted very long because it was just because it was she was an infant and he's like, oh, they gave me this infant.
Yeah, and his wife was like, where did that baby come from? Okay, so now he's in America at Charlestown on a plantation with his side chick, who I'm assuming he also married, maybe?
Yeah, we don't. I mean.
Okay.
Is he the
best? I shouldn't call her a side chick. She probably have no money and then got
Found
with child. Like,
yeah. Who knows her story? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
So Anne, because, you know, he owned people, that was very popular at the time.
Yeah.
So she was considered a good catch, right? Like, ooh, she'd make a good wife for another male slave owner. Okay.
Yeah.
But apparently she had a fiery temper and, okay, hashtag not historians, she also perhaps once stabbed a servant girl with a knife. So like...
Oh,
she was angry.
And by them hands. Okay, you go get these hands. Okay. At 12. Okay.
I told you not to talk back to me. Okay.
Okay.
So her daddy picked out a husband for her, but she was like, no, I don't want to do that. So instead, she married a lowly sailor named James Bonney. That's her last name.
Oh.
Her biographer described him as, quote, a young fellow who belonged to the sea and was not worth a groat.
Oh, I know who this is. You know who this is. Yeah. I didn't know that was her beginning. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting at best. So,
yeah.
Her dad was pissed and he disowned her because, like, disowning was, like, very common, it seems. Like,
yeah. I mean, honestly, I can't really blame her dad. Like,
I mean,
you need to marry this well connected, even if he's a son of a gun, like, and stay here and raise another plant, you know, and
I'm sorry,
run another plantation.
Are you on this white man's slave owning side?
I'm on the side of a father whose daughter's like, I'm gonna marry me a sailor. Back then,
actually, yeah, you're actually no. Wait, hold on. I'm a mother. Absolutely not, young lady. Yeah. You get back here right now.
Yeah, because they're all morally dubious at this time because they're all into the slave trade. So setting that part aside, as a father,
okay.
Your daughter's like, I'm going to marry a sailor?
Hell no. No.
And he obviously is probably thinks highly of himself. He came here to give her a better life and she's going to run off with a sailor.
Yeah, he's like, motherfucker. But like the disowning thing is the thing I can't get behind. Like, don't disown. Yeah. Disown,
well, they're
you
hoping
have no
they
more
change.
Control.
Well, they're hoping they change their mind and come, quote unquote, come to her senses. You
yes,
know?
But like without money,
yeah,
you
and
can't.
No,
you're yeah. screwed.
No,
so
don't disown your children and don't throw your children out. That's not.
Yeah,
that's not
people,
gonna.
You know, yeah. it's not gonna. Get, it's not gonna get better. You're not gonna get anything better done. Right.
Yeah.
But awkwardly enough, the sailor may or may not, but did marry her. For her money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And was then, so anyways, so she left her waste of a husband because she's still disowned, exactly, which is why you don't disown.
Right.
So he's like, oh, we don't get money.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. And then dad could be like, it's okay. I'll annul it. I have all the money and power. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But instead, she escaped to the sea in men's clothing. But that said, she escaped to the sea with her new boyfriend, John Rackham.
Rackham, he can rack me. I'm sorry.
Hey,
I'm 19 and horny.
You're 19 year old male.
Yeah.
So he also happened to be a pirate captain who went by the name Calico Jack.
Calico Jack.
So early on, she
likes
passed,
bad boys.
She
that's
likes
what it
a
is.
Bad boy.
Yeah, that's
like,
what it is.
Usually Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Did you ever watch that show?
Oh, yeah, of course. I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Okay.
Like, she reminds me of Rosa. When she says, like, a bad guy, she's like, God damn it, I'm going to have sex with him. Ugh.
I love Rosa. Rosa's my favorite.
I love her so much.
I love her.
Okay. So what happened was she was passing as a seaman, like, with the pirates, and it was fine. And then she developed a crush on this handsome new blonde sailor, Mark Reed.
Yes, she did.
And then she discovered that hot, young, sexy piece of ass was a woman named Mary Reed.
Hey.
And this is why this is like a little bit pride, because you know she's probably bisexual. So I'm hoping they had a thing. That's what I'm hoping. I'm just hoping. So an 18th century writer said that Calico Jack got so jealous that he threatened to, quote, cut her new lover's throat. So to quiet him, they let him in on her secret. Okay. Now, I'm going to talk about Mary real quick.
Okay.
Because her story is really interesting, and I wanted to, and it's our podcast, so I can. Yep. So she was born to a mother who was married to an English sailor. But while her mother was pregnant with Mary, he went off to sea and then he disappeared. Okay. Never came back. Okay. What happened was a couple of years later, she gave birth to a boy, first off, right? She was married, gave birth to a boy, moved in with her husband's family. It was very common at the time. But then she became pregnant again with Mary. The problem is her husband had not returned home.
Oh.
So how did she get pregnant? It's a mystery. We'll never know.
The stork came. That's what
happened. The stork was like, I found a baby for you. So she runs away from the husband's family. And then her first child, her son, dies because it was the 1600s and science wasn't invented yet, right? So, I mean, it was. I know, Galileo, it wasn't. Okay.
Hashtag not historians.
Hashtag not historians. But like, if you cut yourself, you would die. So, you know.
Yeah.
Her mother-in-law was still sending her money for the boy. So she dressed up Mary, her youngest, as a boy for the first 13 years of her life. So she got to move around in the world as a boy, and it worked. Okay. So mama got the money. But then grandma dies. So mom was like, okay, well, there's no more money and you're a girl, so it's fine. Be a girl. But they were poor, right? So she had to be like, okay, as a girl, you have to be like a lady in waiting. As a boy, they had this thing. It was called a footboy, where you would run in front of the carriage of the rich man and make sure there were no potholes. Did you know this?
I'm not surprised. Rich people are so fucking lazy. And they call poor people lazy.
Tell me more about how poor people are lazy when they're running in front of your, and they're running over shit and the horses.
This is why local government matter, because you can fill in the potholes.
Right?
Oh,
and then get
a
better
job. Sorry about that.
Oh, Lovetta's got guests. Oh,
hold on. This is why local government matters, because they fill in the potholes, and that is where our taxes go. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And then, 15-year-olds can get better fucking jobs.
Yeah.
So she was like, this sucks balls. So at 15, she landed a position as a crew member in the Royal Navy. But that sucked, because if you wanted to go to sea, you had two options, right?
Uh-huh.
You join the Navy or you become a pirate. Now, the Navy had very strict rules, and there wasn't fun to be had, because there was definitely solid hierarchy, right?
Yeah.
And you better God save the Queen, or we'll throw you off the boat.
Yeah.
Piracy had a little more wiggle room, a little more fun.
You sound very excited about piracy.
I'm kind of excited about piracy.
Yes.
I'm like, and I love an ocean. So
oh, yeah. I'm a little afraid of the ocean, but.
Yeah, so is Sal. But I drag him to the beach all the time anyways.
Yeah.
He married me.
Yes.
He didn't need to marry me, but he did. In fact, it was his idea. He asked me. Anyways. That's not the point.
No, I understand why she made that choice, though, because piracy sounds a lot more fun.
Exactly. Yeah. So she stayed in her male disguise looking for her options. Then she joined. Okay. So then she went to Flanders and joined the English army. But then the war ended and she was like out of a job. So she hopped a vessel heading for the West Indies. Then things get hazy and we're not sure if Calico Jack captured her boat and her, or she like willingly joined. All of that we know is that she ended up on that boat and the two of them, Anne and Mary, were thick as thieves.
Okay.
They were just like the boys. They mm-hmm. fought, they cursed, they drank, they robbed, they stole, they crimed, just like the boys
the booty.
Did. They got that booty. Okay. So I think they were a lesbian couple, that they loved each other very much. I have no idea. I made that up, but it sounds good to me.
What are the chances that they were meet like that? Like, that is so cool. Like, the chances that you just, like, you meet basically your counterpart on one of these ships. Like, yeah.
Like, this is your other half.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So at around this time, Britain was getting just like a little tired of having its merchant ships like attacked and plundered. It was like, yeah, no more. No, thank you. Mm-hmm. So the English Navy started cracking down on pirates and they had pirate hunter ships. And one of those ships attacked Calico Jack's ship somewhere near Jamaica, which is a place I want to go to. Total side note. So while the apparently, okay. Hashtag not historians. While the rest of the crew was sleeping, they got attacked. Anne and Mary were awake and tried to fend off the attackers all by themselves.
Oh.
Isn't that cool? I can't verify that information, but I like it. So they kicked some ass, but they were very outnumbered. So they lost. So in 1720, they were put on trial. They were accused of, quote, piracies, felonies, and robberies on the high sea. So witnesses testified that they quote, wore men's jackets and long trousers and handkerchiefs tied about their heads. And each of them had a machete and pistol in their hands and cursed and swore at the men.
I mean, this is so much more fun than being in some stuffy dress.
That's what I'm saying.
Being pulled by, being made to stay in the kitchen.
Right? This is way more fun.
This is way more fun.
So some of the shipmates were released upon the capture of the boat because they claimed to have been like forced into piracy, which happened. But everyone else was sentenced to hang. And then as soon as their sentencing came about, both women were like, wait, I'm pregnant. And there were laws that said you can't hang a woman if she's pregnant. So they're like, well, that's what happened. So, I mean, obviously, they are allowed to have their way with us as we are meek women who are with child. So they stayed the execution. They said, okay, but when, you know, you got some space. Now, there is like lore, fun fact, possible thing that happened, that the day before Calico Jack was to be executed, he asked to see Anne one last time because he loved her. And she flounced into his cell and was like super disdainful. And her last words to him was that she was sorry to see him there, but, quote, if he had fought like a man, he need not have been hanged like a dog.
Oh,
damn.
Yo, that's brutal. Anne is brutal.
Anne is not play. She's like, you a pussy. Okay.
You punk ass bitch. Mm-hmm. I gotta feel bad for Calico Jack.
Yeah. He's like, I love you. And she's like, no.
Get off me.
Stop touching me. Ew.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. That is gangster.
More gangster. They were never executed.
Of course they were. Because the women are always smarter than the men.
Exactly. Now they don't really know what happened to them. They think Mary died of a fever in prison. It said maybe during childbirth, but I was like, they weren't pregnant. That was a lie. They were smart.
And if they were, you know what they did? They seduced some male guard.
Yeah, and they were like,
Come on in here.
Yay. And then the other one like took the keys.
Yeah. They probably tried to create their own ghetto twins, like with the same guard. I wouldn't put it past them.
Listen.
That's what I would do.
Oh my God. God, do what you got to do.
And be high-fiving each other. You better go, girl.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Make that baby. I'll make mine in a few minutes. It's all good. We don't know what happened to Anne. She was released. And
know what happened to her? She was but she lost. Oh, she lost Mary, though.
She did lose Mary, which is sad.
Awesome, buddy.
There's like conjecture that maybe her rich father found out, but I do not know how her father would find this out. I don't know. Maybe.
I mean, I would also imagine that the way that she was able to navigate and survive, like on these pirate ships, you have to be not only incredibly brave, but like extraordinarily like just adept at like I don't know, like scamming, like chess.
She reminds me of I can't remember her name, but she was on our podcast and she was a jewelry thief. And how she just went, what's her name?
Oh my God. Oh yeah, Dolores.
Dolores.
Yeah.
And the way their brains work is sort of similar.
Yep.
I'm going to get through this life. I'm going to do it my way. And that's the end of the story.
And it's just like, you know, and it's Dolores. Hold on. Because that's going to.
I don't want to say
Dolores Payne.
Okay.
Yeah. I would just imagine that she's also incredibly like just surviving in both she and Mary actually surviving, pretending to be men for so long. Like, and only disclosing it when they were ready. Like, that's just, so they have to be incredibly like, they basically could have run their own pirate ships.
They could have.
You know who I'm thinking of, and I think this is a character she played, Gina Davis, right? Did she play this character?
I think so,
She played the pirate? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So the whole time you're talking about, I was thinking of Gina Davis.
She's also in like Drunk History.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she's like been around, but I mean, both of their beginnings are just so fascinating to me. Like,
yeah, I wonder how, but also, if it sounds like they probably were in a relationship, but even if they were just good friends, I would imagine that a girl who is encouraged to behave like a boy early on.
Yeah.
Having that freedom early on, there's no way you can then conform back into womanhood was back then. Like, and all that clothing and, you know, like
expectations.
You can only do this. Yeah. So, good for them. Like, oh my God, I love that. Like, go in. Like,
I know, right?
Love her. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Don't love her father, but that's okay.
No, but I love that. Like, never disown your children. I don't care what happens.
Or own slaves.
Yeah. Well, that ship has sailed, but and that says a lot, the fact that she was raised on a plantation and even when she came of age, she's like, I want to go out to sea. So that she says a lot about her character.
Yeah, too. I agree. Like, she saw it, she helped run it and was like, fuck this. No.
Yeah, I don't want to do even, because the father's thinking like, you need to marry somebody that has just as much money or more, preferably more money, so you can quote unquote be a lady. A Miss Anne. It's so funny because you know that stereotype of Miss Anne, right? So Miss Anne, when Black people say Miss Anne, it's an insult. It's Miss Anne is the original Karen. Basically, Miss Anne. Miss Anne is the lady of the white lady of the house that's sitting on the plantation being mean to the slaves, but she's like, I have the fits. I can't do nothing with my white hands. I can't. but then she's like tormenting the poor slave girl and like whipping her and like, yeah.
So somehow it's just her hands got a little bit better.
Yeah, her hands got a little bit better when she needed to like, oh my Lord. Oh my, I do declare. Fuck on with the wind.
She's yeah. the one who suffers the most on the plantation.
Yes. Scarlett O'Hara is a Miss Anne in the making. Like, she's just like, oh, and so dramatic. That's why he's like, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. He's like, you trifling little bitch. But anyway.
Yes.
Fuck Gone with the Wind.
She is. He yeah. was right. Okay.
And the only Scarlett O'Hara I want to see is Cara Burnett's. And those lovely curtains that she makes her dress from. So, because that is how ridiculous that whole life is.
But, I mean, I think that's why it's so satisfying to watch Carol Burnett do that. Because it's like, oh God, y'all are stupid.
Yeah, because this is how ridiculous it is. Yeah. Oh, I never go hungry again.
Must
but
be
that
nice
is what
to know that
Anne.
For sure. Okay.
Yeah. But that is what a Miss Anne is. So when we so when we're like, oh, Miss Anne is acting up again, it's the Karen. And so that stereotype and that prototype has been around.
Okay.
That archetype, I should say, has been around. And so that's why I think the ladies who are Karens, they're the only ones who get upset at the Karen moniker because they are Karens.
Oh, exactly.
Because if your name is Karen and you're not a Karen, you're just like, yeah, but that ain't me. Like, it's just that's not me. So thank you so much. I love this
you're
Anne.
Welcome.
This Anne is like, I like
her
business.
A lot. Yeah.
Now remember earlier when you were telling me the story and you were talking about Jamaica and you're saying you wanted to go to Jamaica?
I do want to go to Jamaica.
Well, for my notorious woman this week, that is exactly where we're going, to Jamaica.
Yay!
On the island of Jamaica. Now my Caribbean and especially my Jamaican accent is terrible, so I will not do that to you guys. I will not be disrespectful because I actually think the Jamaican, particularly Jamaican women accents are so lovely. I just
love
the little lilt. They're so melodic. I love them.
It's like a song. Yeah.
It's just, I love it. So, and I love Caribbean accents in general. So, so this week, again, it's still Black History Month.
Black Music History Month.
Black Music History Month. Mm-hmm. Black History Month is February.
Thank you. You got it.
Because I'm slowly turning into my grandmother and I just say things in words and put them together. R.I.P. Grandma. So it's Black Music Month this month, for the month of June. And so so far this month, I've done Lisa Left Eye Lopez, Millie Jackson, who I know you really like. She's a little raunchy.
I loved her. I still love her.
Keeping a little bit in that vein of kind of a little raunchy artist, but we're going to the island of Jamaica. My notorious woman this week is Patra. Have you ever heard of Patra?
Okay. It does sound familiar. How do you spell
it? Heard of
Patra.
P-A-T-R-A.
Okay. Okay. Tell me more.
Okay. So Patra was born Dorothy Smith on the 22nd of November, 1972 in Kingston, Jamaica.
Okay.
Now, when she was 3 years old, her father died, unfortunately. So her now single mother moved her and her brothers to the parish of Westmoreland.
Okay.
Which was a little bit more country, you know, Kingston is more of a big city. And like, so probably I would imagine her mother moved her closer, maybe perhaps to her family. And it's a little bit easier to raise kids in the countryside than like the city. So now by the age of 8, she was a member of her family's church. And and so she, you know, she sang. So others discovered her musical talents and that she was good. And, you know, she had that it factor, you know, that kids that age have. So she listened to all kinds of music, of course, because Jamaica has a rich musical history.
Oh, yeah.
That the home of reggae. But it has a rich cultural history. And then she's in the church. So you have the gospel, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, but she's like any other teenager. So she's, you know, playing in the church, singing in the church, but she's also listening to popular music on the radio as a teenager. So, because we're now in the early 80s. Now, when she... So she's listening to the radio with her kids. She's like a preteen, let's say tween, like, I don't know, 12, 13 or what have you, right?
Yeah.
She gets into popular music. So she's into that too. And one day she got introduced to three main artists and they were called dance hall artists.
Yeah.
Yellow Man, Ninja Man, and General Treese.
Okay.
Who they basically, when she heard that, it's sort of like, oh my God, I want to do that. Like, it kind of reminds me when Lisa Left Eye was in church and musicals in school. And then she heard Missy Elliott, you know, and then she's just like, oh no, she heard Queen Latifah, Ladies First. And she's like, oh my God, I want to do that. So it really kind of shaped her early, like her early musical taste. And then it would inform her style, her, you know, her signature thing once she gets into music, right? So her voice, quote unquote. Now, at the age of 17, she entered a local performing competition and won with ease, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And that increased her confidence because once she heard Yellow Man and Ninja Man and General Trees, she started like performing in front of the mirror and like working on her performance, like in dance hall, like working on that kind of thing versus like in church, like, oh, magnify the Lord with me, you know, or, you know, whatever.
That's so cute. That P.S. that reminds me of Insecure when Issa Rae would like.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So she.
Or like
so
me
she,
when I was nine and I would go in the
and
mirror.
And you practice in the mirror. Like everybody practices in the mirror with a hairbrush, you know. Mm-hmm. And so she won. So but this competition was her first time like doing it outside of the church and like in like a legit, you know, and it's not church music. So she won with ease. And because she won, she was also entered into the finals that would take her to Kingston. So back to Kingston.
Oh, okay.
So she goes back to Kingston and she actually wins the contest there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So she, because, you know, it's like, this is the make or break. Like, do you have the confidence? Do you have the stage presence? Like, do you have, like, can you, when people are watching you, when you're on stage, can you actually bring it? Yep, she brung it.
The answer was yes.
After she won that contest in Kingston, that caught the attention of several successful producers like Mickey Bennett and Steely and Cleve. So they were like very famous and popular musical producers in the area. And it's in Kingston. So it's like if you're in upstate New York and then you go to New York City. So these are the big times, right? So they actually booked her some studio time because a lot of times these guys also own their own studios. So they wanted to work with her. So they began recording a few singles, you know, just to sort of, okay, we got something here, right?
Yeah.
And she was very pretty also. That didn't hurt.
That helps.
Yeah.
Now, is what it is. Yep.
So she basically began making the rounds in Kingston and, you know, just, you know, performing wherever she could and just getting the name out there. I'm sure with the help of these guys as well, because they want to promote their new artists, possible artists, you know, that kind of thing. So she at one of these events, like where you're getting out there, you're just trying to get stage time wherever you can. You know, it's not quite as formalized. It probably is more so now, but this was still the early days of like music coming from Jamaica being given the treatment it deserves and given like the attention and the promoters and, you know, reggae is the music of obviously Bob Marley. That's what we most associate. But Bob Marley was part of a whole wave of like wonderful reggae artists. Same thing with dancehall, right? So it's not just one person. It's a bunch of people who are getting the sound out there, but it gets the record executives excited, right?
Totally.
So she started just trying to get stage time and get her name out there. So at one of these events, she was actually given the mic by one of her heroes, Yellow Man.
Oh my God.
Because they're like, okay, let's see what you can do.
Yeah.
And she took it and she was like, I'm going to show you what I can do. So once she got the mic, everybody, because obviously this is a bigger, more impressive crowd, because if Yellow Man's there, it's a big deal. So people are like, oh my God, oh, who is this? Right?
Right.
So from there, she adopted the stage name during this time, Lady Patra. Now, it was a play on Cleopatra.
Oh, I get it
now. The queen.
I get it now.
Yeah.
I love that.
Now, and I will say a lot of the other female dancehall artists took on the moniker of Lady.
Oh, okay.
In front of their name. That's why when Lady Gaga came out, I thought she was like a dance hall like artist.
Yeah.
And when I saw that she was a white lady, I was like, what? Because there's Lady Saw, Lady Pot. Like, so Lady would often go in front of the name. So she was in Kingston. So she did this for about 6 months. She was only there for about 6 months until she was offered. And at that point, she was offered a spot on the stage for one of Jamaica's biggest events called the Sting Festival.
Okay.
So this is like main stage legitimate, like legitimate promoters. This is like a big, big thing. And I will say these events that she was going to, it's kind of like, it's similar to like cyphers in the hip hop community where you you basically do freestyles. So it's like improv. Okay. So freestyles are improv raps is what they are. And they can also call them cyphers because cyphers are based on a specific topic or something like that. Right. So or you.
I mean, let me act like I know this. I know this because of Hamilton. Okay.
Hamilton. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, the 40-year-old version.
Of course, I've seen that movie with Steve Carell.
So when she no, the 40-year-old version.
No, I've not seen that movie. Rona,
Miriam.
Okay.
This I'm week wrong. You got to watch that movie. You That's will fucking fine. Love this movie.
You guys it's can't about see this her, woman. But the look on her face right now is very aggressive. I will watch.
It
this
is
movie.
So funny.
I need a funny movie.
It's a woman who's like she's a playwright, and at the age of 40. She's having this crisis because nothing's really happening. So she decides she wants to revisit her hip hop days. Okay. All her friends are like, what? So she's doing these raps and like,
I will watch this movie. So that sounds funny. Amazing.
The actress who stars in it also wrote it. I think she directed it. But
oh,
it's
really?
So funny. And it's set in New York City. So
yes,
like,
it is.
It.
Oh my
it
God.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I hope she does more films because it is so funny. She's okay. A star. So in that, it's just basically like you get in the cipher, and I could be not explaining this right because I'm not an MC, but basically you and I are in this thing, a group of it's like improv, but rap.
Right.
So you know how you're in an improv group and you're like, yes. you say something, you're doing like an exercise where you're like, oh, I went down to the store and they pick up store, and then they do an improv based off store. And then they something in that improv is like banana. And then somebody, the next person does an improv based
Again,
off on that.
As so, a white person, because I saw a special that starred Lin-Manuel Miranda about his group that does that. Yeah. Like, that's why I know it. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be like, yeah, I know all about rap. Nope. Learned it the white way.
I just want to explain it to our American audience. That's kind of like what she was doing at these events.
That's so
hard. So she
was
doing the freestyle.
Can we just talk about that? Because improv scares me and I do it. But it just,
It is, it is not for the faint of heart.
The beat? No, thank you.
And in front of a bunch of people. So she had that confidence, she had confidence to spare. So, but after six months, she was given an opportunity to do this on the main stage in, quote, a series of battles with other female MCs, artists.
That sounds terrifying. I'm so happy for her, though.
So in a 4-week battle with fellow but more seasoned artists, Lady G, Sister Charmaine, and Lady P, she had to bring it. So now the older artists, more seasoned artists, they were more established. They kind of took it easy. They were kind of like warming up. They were holding back a little bit. People could tell. But when she got the mic, she's like, I'm the new one here. She went in and she went hard and the crowd went wild. They were like, oh my God. And she even surprised the other women. They were like, oh, okay. She's bringing it.
We're playing. Get it.
Now, I want to explain a little bit about dancehall. So dancehall is a music genre from Jamaica that has its roots in the 1970s, but became hugely popular in the 1980s with the help of Yellow Man. Yellow Man, Ninja Man, and General Trees, and like I said, Lady P, Sister Charmaine, and Lady G. Those were some of the names that were very popular in Jamaica. Yellow Man was popular also outside of Jamaica as well.
Okay.
And now the name dancehall is named after because it was playing in dance halls, aka again for America, clubs. Juke joints is what we would say kind of here, but clubs in which popular Jamaican recordings were played by local sound systems. They kind of remixed them. In the mid 80s, digital instrumentation became more prevalent, changing the sound considerably from the sound it had in the 70s. So dance hall in the 70s is different than dance hall in the 80s.
Can I tell you what I know all about dance hall? It's another white way of knowing Zumba.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's how I learned it.
So now digital dance hall in the 80s or raga became increasingly characterized by faster rhythms and extensive use of Jamaican patois. That's another thing. versus standard, like that beautiful, like I said, a Jamaican accent with the proper English, you know, but it was Jamaican patois, which is a, it's still English. English patois is English, but it's just like a, how do I want to say? It's sort of like a, you know how they say we have Ebonics, quote unquote, really, but you know, or like it's, the stuff it's online. Like Yiddish is a form of, it's an offshoot of Hebrew, right? Yiddish
is... No, it's not.
It's not?
It's, it's 70% German.
Edumacatement.
It's 70%. It's like 70% German. And it's like 15% Hebrew. And like, then it's like, you know what? Like, I'm desperately doing math. So that's 85%. And then it's like, maybe like 20% Hebrew. And then like 10% like... Listen, math is hard. Leave me alone.
I'm not judging
English. So like, I remember learning, like, we're like, what's internet? And it's like, internet is the name.
Actually, so Yiddish is exactly like Jamaican patois.
Yeah.
That's what patois is. That is what patois is.
Totally see that. Yeah.
And that is, so it's like, for instance, like... I had a boyfriend once that used to do the accent. And again, I won't do it because it's terrible. But he'd be like, come for me now. Come for me now. Right? So that just means come here. Right?
Is that how he asked you out? Because that's why he
No. But he would do it. I'd be like, do the accent. I love it because I love when he did it. But like, you know what I mean? Like, or like Beanie Man, which is the artist that I knew of in the 90s. Beanie Man, he has a song. He's like, the girl's dem sugar. Right. Yeah. So Beanie Man is like the girl's sweetheart or they get, but it's the girl's them sugar. So, you know, you can kind of tell what that means.
Yes.
The girl's them. It's like, oh, the girl's sugar. Right.
I think
but it's like
so...
the way they say it's so melodic. It's so beautiful. Yeah. So that is what dance hall. So they were rapping that with that type of language versus like standard English.
Right.
So now artists such as Epic Records artist Shabba Ranks. Was the next big thing.
Okay.
Coming out of Jamaica. And he also had the backing of Epic Records. And when Shabba Ranks hit the scene in, I think it was 92, he had a song called Ring-a-Ting and Mr. Loverman, Ring-a-Ting-a-Ling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, Booyaka, Booyaka. That is all like Jamaican patois, right?
I love it.
And it's on beat. It's like so melodic. Yes. You can't help but dance to it. It's so good.
Yeah, I'm dancing right now.
So good. And so he came out and he was very successful also as a crossover artist.
Oh, okay.
And so because of this, Epic Records and other record labels in the U.S. were on the lookout for a female version.
Uh-huh.
So after her performance at the festival, they believed that they had found their leading lady.
Okay,
and
perfect.
Now, it's so weird when you look at the tape of this like battle. She literally has like the salt and pepper hairstyle. Because again, this is by the time she came on, we're already through the 80s and we're in the early 90s. But you know, the salt and pepper hairstyle with the kind of like a mushroom cut or like half of it is shaved off.
Yes.
And then she had the big like earrings. Like, so she looked very, very different. But she's... like they're performing again, dance hall. So it's a very specific and unique to Jamaica. But when she signed to Epic Records, so Shabba Ranks signed in like 91. His record came out in 92. She signed in 92.
Oh, wow. So right there. Okay.
They immediately began on her working on her album. And in the meantime, she was featured on Shabba Ranks' song Family Affair from the 1993 film Addams Family Values.
Yes.
Which became a hit on Billboard's Hot 100. Now, in 93, so this all went very, very fast. So she's just 21. She released her debut album, Queen of the Pack.
Okay.
And it became number one on the reggae albums chart. And it was led by her first single, Think About It, which peaked at 21 on the Billboard Rap Singles chart and 89 on the R&B charts.
Okay.
Her follow-up singer, Workaman, and she's doing the butterfly. She's doing, that's the song.
Yes.
Workaman. You guys should check it out.
I know that song.
Yeah, you know that song.
Yeah.
All day long. Yep. Yep. Now it reached number 53 on the Hot 100 charts and top 20 on the R&B charts and number one on the U.S. dance charts. That's why you heard of it.
That's why I heard it.
Yep.
Because, you know, I was, well, I wasn't quite dancing in clubs yet, but eventually I would get there.
Because that's also when they had videos. So these videos would play on a loop all the time. Yep. Old youngins, they would play them all day long, all day long. And then her third and final single from that album was the icing on the cake called Romantic Call. And it peaked at 55 in the U.S. on the Billboard charts, 21 on the U.S. dance charts. But it was also a collaboration with Yo-Yo, the rapper Yo-Yo, West Coast rapper. Uh-oh. And in the video, it included an appearance by none other than Tupac Shakur.
What?
And it was shot in L.A. and in Jamaica.
Wow.
So this was like a big deal because a lot of artists, especially from the Caribbean, because it's smaller places, want to get big in the U.S., want to get big in the U.K., want to go worldwide. And so this was huge. And then to have that in there. And now some of the lyrics from Romantic Call is, I'm on a romantic call. I'm talking to my baby down at my yard. I'm on a romantic call. Again, it's terrible. Go and listen to the actual song.
It's also awesome. Okay.
Yeah, I love that song. And now I also watched an interview and she was talking about this video, Patra herself now. And she was saying that she was in her trailer getting ready and she got a knock on the door and it's Tupac. He came to say hi. He just actually literally just stopped by the set.
Oh my God.
And he asked to be in the video because originally there was supposed to be just some random actor in the video, like with her. So basically they're in a car and Yo-Yo and the guy sitting between Yo-Yo and her in the back seat.
Okay.
And they're driving around and she's like, he was so down to earth and she was just so impressed with how down to earth he was. And he was like, oh yeah, I just want to come out and support. And like, so he doesn't sing or he's not even on the track. He's just literally in the video. So
that's
it kind of also, it's a way to like legitimize her and welcome her into the family and
what
that kind of thing.
Guy.
Support.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So now, like I said, in this video, she also in the video in her, when her album came out, the one thing I remember, because just being a chocolate girl myself growing up, I always thought, oh, in the Caribbean, they have all these beautiful chocolate girls that they're going to show. And like, at first, they didn't really do that. They would show like other light-skinned women. I'm like, well, we got light-skinned women here in the United States. I want to see like pretty chocolate Jamaican girls, right? Caribbean girls. And Patra was a beautiful, beautiful chocolate girl.
Yes.
And her, and again, she was only about 20, 21. And so her whole look was like long waist length braids, thick braids.
Nice.
She had on what we would call Daisy Dukes, but they're basically like short jean shorts. And she had red lipstick and she was doing what she called the butterfly.
Okay.
And so the butterfly, when you go and watch these videos, you'll see her and the other dancers in the background doing it. And even men started doing it. But it was all part of this whole like explosion of dance hall music and like more modern reggae also, which had a dance hall influence with it that would like Shaggy would later come and even Rihanna upon the replay. So but Patra was like sort of the first that I can remember female dance hall artist, like megastar. And she was beautiful and she was very fit, as the English would say. She's very thin. And so she looked really good in her short shorts.
Okay.
And then they're doing this very evocative, like butterfly dance. And it's very, very sexy. It was like very, very sexy.
Okay.
So she went on tour with the success because it was very successful. They were very pleased with how well it did. And she went on tour for 2 years all over the world.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And she had enormous success and she followed it up with her second album, Center of Attraction, in 1995, which included Pull Up to My Bumper, Baby, which is a remake of the Grace Jones hit.
Oh, my God.
So she gave a shout out to her fellow Jamaican sister, the iconic and totally original Grace Jones. And that song peaked at number 60 on the Hot 100 charts, number 21 on the R&B charts and number 15 on the dance charts.
Wait, that's her second album? I thought it was her fourth album. Am I
No, this is her second album. It's her fourth single.
Got it. Okay. Got it.
So, in case that was not clear, so
just like think I'm about not good with math, I'm sure you said it properly. Okay.
Think about it. Work a Man and Romantic Call were on the first album, Queen of the Pack.
Got it. Okay.
And so Pull Up So My Bumper was on the second album. Center of Attraction is the name of the second album. And then she also had a duet with Aaron Hall from Guy, who was really, really hot at the time, called a song called And Scent of Attraction. And it peaked at number 82 on the Hot 100. And it peaked number 31 on the top 40 R&B charts as well. She also appeared on the Panther movie soundtrack. And Panther meaning Black Panther, with the song Freedom. So she now after that, you know, it's hard to get these albums out, but she was a bona fide star icon, the way she looked. Again, she's a beautiful young girl. She's touring. So for the next 10 or so years, she would continue on to release, you know, more albums and more songs with lesser, you know, success chart wise. But she was already established. Good. So people still wanted to pay to see her to perform. She did a remix of the CNC Music Factory hit Take a Toke.
Okay.
And then she did release her third studio album, The Great Escape, with another record label. So she's just started sort of moving around. That is very typical with a lot of artists. Like, you know, it's just very hard. Most people are not Beyonce where they have like, you know, or you know, they have like 10, you know, Prince or Michael Jackson. And most people are not that. Most people have like two or three good ones in them and then they go on to do something else. So, now in 2005, she decided to take some time off. So she kind of disappeared and we were all like, where did Patra go? Like, and she said that, so after she sort of came back to the limelight, she said that it just became too much. Like it was just a lot of work, a lot of stress being on the road. A lot of bullshit starts to pop up. So she took some time off from the music industry to work on her spirituality and to get more back connected to God. So she also went back to school. She got her bachelor's degree in history and political science.
All right.
She got married to a gentleman by the name of Donahue Jarrett, a successful businessman.
Okay.
And she wrote a book and trained as a chef and opened a world-class restaurant called Chateau Seven.
Oh, my God. Where is this restaurant?
It's in Jamaica.
Damn it.
So
now I want to go to Jamaica and I want to go to the restaurant in Jamaica.
I know. I just want to go to Jamaica, period.
I just want to go to Jamaica for a week. Like,
yeah. I know. 2 weeks. Because I want to go up to the mountains and
Oh, you're right. You need 2 weeks. You need the beaches and then you need the mountains. You're not wrong.
Now, she sort of, like I said, she sort of disappeared and we're all like, what? Because I was thinking about her maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. I was like, where's Patra? And we've all been thinking that. And we were all just sort of like, oh, my God, I hope nothing bad happened to her. But no, she's just living her life. And, you know, so this past decade, in addition to doing living her life and still doing music. In fact, in 2014, she released Patra, semicolon, the continuation. So her latest record. And she remains in demand for live shows. But again, she's just, you know, more focused on home life and just, you know, being a real person in the world. But last year, she actually appeared on the BET Awards where they celebrated. They gave a segment that was dedicated to Caribbean music.
Oh, that's fantastic. And about time.
Yeah. Where the 50-year-old Patra.
Yes.
Came out in her short shorts. She looks skinnier than what I remember. It's because she's just older and you look skinnier when you're older and you're skinny. But she put on a fire performance. Everybody was very, very excited to see her. Her hair is short now. And I think it was blonde at the time. And it just came out and she did the butterfly. And we were all like, oh, my God, that's Patra. And then behind the scenes, I actually saw a video of Yo-Yo who hadn't seen her and she was so excited and she started hugging her. She's like, oh my God, I love you so much. I missed you. I haven't seen you. And it was just so lovely to see them reunite. Because we were all like, where's Patra? Like, you know, our faves, we want them to prosper and be great. But she's been there all along. Also last year, she actually released a song called 50 with a fellow artist, Tanya Stevens, And it's basically a song about like celebrating women getting older and living life to the fullest. You know, basically, it's just younger, we were hot, but we still hot now. And they had women of all different sizes and like, you know, but they're obviously over the age of 30 and they are just getting their groove on and looking sexy and twerking and doing the butterfly. And like,
so I love Patra. Her.
So go and support Patra. Look up her stuff. Yeah. Look at the old videos. Like if you guys don't know who she is, you're in for a treat. It's really, really great. And dance hall in general, it's just like awesome, awesome music. And I want all those people who like gave us joy to just be living their best lives. So
I'm with
that
you.
That is Patra.
Amazing.
My notorious woman this week. Yeah.
Thank you. What a journey.
So, I know, right?
That's awesome. I love her.
Yeah. And you, because it's so funny, you were like, oh, who is that? And then I started singing badly like, those songs. And you're like, oh, I know who that is.
I am the worst in general about, like, Sal makes fun of me all day. Because I'll be like, he would be like, oh, Patra, and it was this song, and these are the lyrics. And I'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then he'll play it, and I'll be like, ah, and then I'll start to sing along, but not the correct words. Never the correct words. And it drives him absolutely insane, but I'm not going to stop because my brain cells only have so much room in them.
Oh, my God. But you know, we all sing songs. You know that song? Oh, speaking of Guy, Aaron Hall, Guy had the song, Let's Chill.
Okay.
Let's chill.
Yes.
Let's settle down. Yeah. For so long, I thought they said last year.
Oh, my God. Remember Whoop, There It Is?
Yeah.
I thought it was Whoop Mayonnaise.
So no judgment there. Like, we all do it. Oh, my God. If you guys listen to this and you have similarly... Like,
please let us know so we don't feel
misheard.
Alone.
Mm-hmm. Like lyrics,
seriously.
Let us know.
We really like, want to know.
You can send us an email, but you can also give us put it in that 5-star review that you're going to leave on.
Because we'll read it on the next episode.
Absolutely,
100%. We want to know. We want to share.
Yes. Well, that wraps it up for the latest episode of Notorious Women Podcast. And like we said, we really, really want to know because I'm mature enough to remember to admit that I used to think it was
last year. Yeah, that's hilarious.
But guys, thank you so much for listening to us and supporting our show. If you also want to support the show financially, you can do that at patreon.com/notoriouswomen. That's patreon.com/notoriouswomen. And Miriam, how else can they get in touch with us and let us know about their humiliating ideas?
So many ways. My favorite way is Instagram. It's Notorious Women Podcast at Instagram. You can comment under one of our posts. You can DM us. We're there a lot. We also have a TikTok, Notorious Women Podcast. And we have a YouTube. You can comment on our YouTube channel as well. And you can also listen to whole ass episodes on YouTube, which is also Notorious Women Podcast. We are very repetitive. We know.
Yeah.
And also we have an email. It's notoriouswmpod@gmail.com. If you want, you have longer things to send us. We would love that. So,
Like I said, go and look up that Gina Davis movie too. I'm pretty sure it's like she plays a pirate and download, stream some Patra. You will get your life.
You like how we're giving our listeners homework?
Yeah. But this is fun stuff that they could do while they're cleaning, doing something that they don't. That's what I do when I'm doing something I don't want to do. I listen to podcasts 100, like in my
all
ear.
The time.
So,
me too.
You know, because if I put on music, I'll start dancing.
Oh,
and then
it's not good.
It done,
so. I mean, it is good, but I don't get anything done.
So do that with our podcast. All right, guys, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.